So let's move on and talk about some other tumor genomic alterations and how people are treated. And Molly Reed, who you work with, presented a patient, a young patient, 29 years old, with ALK rearranged metastatic disease, presented really very, very sick in the ICU. Ended up, they found out he had an ALK translocation, got crizotinib, had a really good response, and has been on a bunch of other therapies since that time. First of all, can you talk a little bit about your vision of sort of what ALK rearranged lung cancer actually is?
Sure. So it's a little different than the mutation in EGFR that we were talking about. It's a translocation. So it's two parts of a chromosome that get snarled up on each other as cells are dividing and result in a transfer of genetic information from one arm to another of the chromosome, leading to, again, that on switch that begins to upregulate the cancer's growth. And so in the same way as erlotinib or gefitinib or afatinib turns off the light switch that is the EGFR mutation, crizotinib, ceritinib, now brigatinib, and alectinib all turn off the light switch that is that transfer or that translocation of genetic information in an ALK-positive cancer. The result is the same. You get a tremendous response rate in the 60 to 80% range. Patients are very symptomatic and then not at all. There are a few differences between patients with EGFR mutations and ALK rearrangements that I think are interesting. They tend to be younger. They tend not to do as well with chemotherapy, which is in distinction to patients with EGFR mutations that tend to do really well with chemotherapy as well. And the mutation seems to be even more important. As I see patients in the drug development unit in phase one who have progressed on all of these standard regimens, they are still addicted to ALK, where it's the EGFR positive patients I find that tend to have developed other mutations that maybe make them a little bit more susceptible to immunotherapy in the refractory space, for example.